sensitive to the Spirit of God. And I just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. And I exalt your holy name on high. Come on, worship with me for just a moment. It says, I just want to praise you. Lift my hands. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. And I exalt your holy name. And I exalt your holy name. And I exalt your holy name on high. Yes, God, we worship you. Father, we honor the work of your servant who loves the sheep, who have cried, oh God, over the sheep. People have come and people have left. He have invested into. People visit in the midnight hour, yet he is still here, loving the sheep as under shepherds, God. We pray that you continue the work. We pray for the word today that's already blessed, and we give you praise. And all God's people said, amen. The title of this message is called An Encounter with God. I want you to find three people and say, an encounter with God. Go ahead. You can move your neck in church. It's okay. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Come on. Let me just go ahead and stretch y'all right now. I want you to give three people a high five and say, an encounter with God. Come on. Give me a five high five. There it is. An encounter with God. An encounter with God. Listen. My wife said, and she's going to be talking while I'm preaching. If I'm really preaching good, you'll hear her say some amens there. If I'm not preaching good, she's going to be quiet. Amen. But what we're looking for and what you're looking for today is an encounter with God. I mean, I can preach till I preach white. Hey, and that's some preaching. But what's more important to me today is that your spirit would be open, that God would touch your heart, and that you would have an encounter with God. I can't wait till Monday. I feel like preaching. I feel my help coming on right now. Oh, come on, let's look at the text. Somebody say, look at the text. We'll begin because of time. I was going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. But because of time, I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 26. Thank you. Let the fool simmer. Put it on low. For you see your calling, brethren, verse 26, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Look at somebody and say, that means it could be you. Come on, look at somebody and say, it could be you. It could be. Not many noble are called. Pastor Jack and Jenna, they had an encounter with God. And they simply said, God, use my life. And so sometimes we have so many excuses, but the text says, for you see your calling, brother, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble call, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame, the things with your mighty. Maybe God can use me. Verse 28 says, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. If you've never been picked, God says, I will pick you. God has chosen in the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now I really want you to look at this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now this is Paul talking. I want you to, somebody say Paul. Paul is talking to us. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. There it is. An encounter with God. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When I first started preaching, this is the text that God gave me to for my calling, to say, God said, Kenny, I'm calling you. I'm here to tell you today, if you really want an encounter of God, if you really want to change or see change in your life, you need an encounter with God. You need to experience the demonstration of his Spirit and of his power. The Bible teaches, says, not in our might, come on, not in our strength, not in our power, but it's by his Spirit. We are spiritual beings. I really wish I had time to get into this thing. That we are spiritual beings. We have a soul, and there's something within us that cries out to worship, because God created us. And so God said there can be a connection. Maybe you're here today and you really never had an encounter with God. See, the church we grew up at, we just knew everybody read the Bible. Maybe you're here today and you don't know nothing about the Bible. Maybe you've been taught that the Bible is not true, and that you've been rejecting and you've been turning away. But there's been something in you that's saying, listen, there's got to be more than life. When our family members pass away, we see the coffin and we see loved ones in the coffin, we know that that's not it. There's something more after death. Am I right about it? My God. And God is trying to get your attention this morning, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I say to you today, unlock your spirit today and let God touch you right where you are today. My God. It is his Spirit that changes the heart and minds of people. We need an encounter with God that will change our total being, our minds, our thoughts, come on, our direction. How many people say, I need an encounter with God? Come on. In the old church, we used to sing a song. The old church. Also, old church used to sing a song. He touched me. Y'all remember those kind of songs? Oh, y'all don't know nothing about that. They used to sing, the old saints used to say, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he touched my spirit, and I found out for myself that this thing is real. It's real. God will touch your spirit. And let me tell you what the devil does. I know what the devil will do in church. Just because you're sitting here doesn't mean you're open. Come on. See, I'm from the city. And the devil used me real good. I'm not proud of it. But I used to smoke reefer, marijuana, I don't know what y'all call it up here, pot. singing up in the choir. Talking about 99 and a half won't do if I don't. So I know what the devil will do in the church. And see, we're a Christian, we don't think, oh no, this is holy ground. The devil is a lie. He'll come right up in here on your children. My God. Somebody say, wake up. You won't sleep this morning. Hallelujah. I might be big, but I still can move. Hey. I feel good. Da-na-na-na. Woo. I got a CD coming out too. Hit me. Come on. How many know the gospel? The gospel is full of joy. Come on. Your young kids don't want to come to no dead, dry church. Dead and dry. Come on, somebody. You got to drag them to church. I know you, don't I? Don't I know you? Did you get saved yet? Hallelujah. Did you ever get saved? I've been working on you. I've been praying for you for years. Amen. You look saved. God bless. Amen. I love you. I just like the festival. Amen. Wake up. Wake up. Come on, see. All right, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. First, we got to teach our young people it's okay, not just young people, even men, to bring their Bibles. Come on, you want to be a real man? Bring your Bible to church. Teach the young men in the church that a real man carries a Bible. I wish I had a couple of men that would lift up their Bible and say, hey, I'm not ashamed. So the young people can see, I brought my Bible. Come on. If you're a man here, you don't have your Bible, get a Bible. Come on. And start bringing the Word of God, not just for show. But begin to open it up in front of the family. Because I had an encounter with God. All right, I got a lot of scripture to read. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. If you haven't, say, I got it. Amen. I don't know if they do it back here, but in Washington, D.C., we have a church in D.C., we have a church in Maryland. In D.C., they play the lotteries. Y'all have that out here? Lottery tickets where you got to hit a number. And when you hit it, you get excited. I hit it, dude. I got it. Come on, but we got something better than a lottery ticket. We got the Word of God in our hands. Come on. Some of y'all played the number today, didn't hit. Good. I hope it never hit. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I can't be spanking y'all. Okay, are you ready? Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went up to the high priest. There are still people out there that the devil is using that's coming against the disciples of the Lord. Do you hear me today? My God. And asking letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, they just call it the way. It's the way of life. They didn't really have all these church names and denominations and all that. It was just called the way. See, some of this stuff is killing us. Do y'all hear me? Baptist and Presbyterian, we are frozen, chosen. Y'all too loud and come on. Your church too long and come on. Your church too white. Your church too black. Your church too Spanish. Come on. Some of that stuff is killing us. And God is calling the body to be one. And it is called simply the way. I said, why is this country boy, good old boy, flying in a preacher like this? Because we're brothers in Christ. Come on, I said this before. I might have said here. You know, some of y'all was taught never to shake a black man's hand. Come on, if you be honest, come on. Because in the morning you're going to have a big afro. Come on. Come on, I mean, we was taught all kind of stuff like that. They lazy. Come on. See, we got to deal with real issues in the church. Because there's racism in the church. Come on. I like the blacks, but them Spanish people, please. Come on. Taking all the jobs. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on. They need a church. And we need to come together. Is that okay? I'm just being led by the Spirit. That's all right? Is that okay? Let me go back. Somebody say, go back to the text. Go back to the text. And he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was looking to bind up the Christians. He was looking to murder them, to torture them. We don't know anything about being tortured. Let me tell you what your torture be today, that I might preach too long. Folk leaving already. Oh, God, let's get out. That's the first thing I taught people in our church, how to leave. You put your little finger up, and I mean, you go into the bathroom, and then you just go and get in your car and go home. Somebody put the finger up. Let's see. My mother said, never point at nobody. Y'all better put your finger up or y'all never going to leave here. Come on, put your... Come on, it's called unity. Come on. Hey, amen. If you ever go to a black church, you know what they're doing. Hello. They leaving. That's what they're doing. Whew. Let me tell you, for some of you, my style of preaching might shock you. Because I use a lot of energy. I use a lot of laughter. And, you know, let me just tell you what I'm doing. Is that laughter, because most of us, our heart has been guarded and blocked. And there's a lot of pain there. And so you guard your heart. The laughter helps that to come down. Come on. Muhammad Ali used to call it rope-a-dope. Come on. Kind of low, y'all. That's what I'll be doing, laughing. Then I hit you with the word, pow! You be laughing. Pow! The word of God. Pow, pow, pow! Get slain in the spirit. Whoa! What happened? All right, back. Somebody say, go back to the text. Go back to the text. Back to the text. As he journeyed, we're on a journey. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly he was hit. Pataya! And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's having an encounter with God. Do you hear me today? He is having an encounter with God. God is speaking to him. And he said, who are you? You're here today. I'm not worried about the saved folk today. I'm worried about those here in this place who say, who are you, Lord? That's who I'm fishing for. Pastor Jack used to take me out fishing, and they always would say, you take him. Because I was a tenderfoot. I couldn't even put the bait on the hook. Hello, somebody. See, they was advanced. And I'd go like this, and it just fall like that. And Pastor Jack said, go over there somewhere. Go, go. Lord. But God said, Kenny, I didn't call you to be catch that kind of fish. I want you to be fishers of men. Come on, somebody. So I'm fishing today for somebody who's smiling on the outside but crying on the inside. I'm fishing today for someone who's been running from God, or somebody that's been rejecting God, or somebody long time ago when I sung that song, he touched me. It did something to you when you heard it again. It's been a long time since your mascara ran down. It's been a long time since your hair was done. You could care less because he touched me. I need a touch. Anybody raise their hand? I'm not looking, but say, God, I need a touch today. I need an account. How many will be bold enough to lift their hands and simply say, I need a touch. I want an encounter with you. Come on. I'm going to raise it and say, I want an encounter with you, God. That's what I really need. I need an encounter with you. When you come back later on, I want to talk about this encounter with God is life changing. It's life changing. It's not this emotional coaster. Come on. It is life changing. And we can see it in the story of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. Okay, I want y'all to read, Lord. Help me just read it, Lord. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Come on, he's not playing. He's not trying to hide. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembled and astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." When you have an encounter with God, he's going to give you an assignment. Not just a pastor, but he's going to tell everybody to do something. Do you hear me today? And he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The first thing he wants you to do, just come. Just come. Come, we're going to celebrate. There's going to be a celebration here, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than this CD. Come on, somebody. I want to buy a whole truckload by faith. He was going, cha-ching, cha-ching. The devil is a lie. It's going to be one of them little truck, little bitty, bitty truck like that. Okay, let's go back. Somebody said, go back to the text. Go back to the text. "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. Verse 7. "Hearing a voice, but seeing no one." I could park there for a moment. Hearing a voice. "My sheep knows my voice." If you're going to have an encounter with God, you got to hear his voice. That's what, when I first started preaching here, I came straight from the airport. You know, I felt like I had a police escort coming up here. They was like, I think she had lights on her car. You know, with woo, woo, woo. You know. As soon as I walked in, he was finished singing. And I just didn't want to start preaching. I wanted to begin to say, "God, I just want to worship you so I can be in tune with your voice." It doesn't really matter about my notes. It's about listening to his voice. Okay. "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand." When you first get saved, can I help? Can I work with you? Come on. When you first get saved, you need somebody. Come on. To lead you. Come on. By the hand. And see, what happens is, we want this person to be more dependent upon us than God. We like when somebody is dependent upon us, that they got to hold our hand. But it's only for a season. Because you begin to teach them, come on, how to let go of his hand and how to walk together. Walk with me. Hallelujah. And how to walk together. Come on. Yeah. Now he is trained to go find somebody else. Come on, find somebody else you want to pick on and make them grab their hand. Boy, Lord, he like that. He like you. And what is he doing? There's a season when he has to lead somebody by the hand. The Holy Spirit is saying, "Who are you leading by the hand?" If you had an encounter with God, God is calling you to lead somebody by the hand. Come on, I'm preaching right now. Hallelujah. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days. No vision." That's the name of our church, New Vision. See, without sight, he had no vision. I'm going to say, even not just physical vision, but spiritual vision. "And neither ate nor drank, so he was fasting. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision." Somebody say, "In a vision." "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." I'm getting ready for my assignment. "So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called," come on, I can preach right there, underline street, but I ain't going to go there, "straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold," he's what? I remember one time when I was first got saved, and I was over a prayer house, a Wednesday night prayer house, and some of y'all know my story. I was a gangster. I'm not proud of that. God radically changed my life. I was into crime and all that, was incarcerated and all that kind of stuff. But I never forget when I was on my knees praying, and my aunts walked in, and they said, "Kenny, he is praying." I had an encounter with God. Because before I would never pray. Come on. Unless it was a crisis. Unless it had to do with mama. Come on. I mean, I would go to God for mama. Come on. But other times, let me fix this thing. And here we see Saul. Here he is. He's what? He's... I can say it like you black folks. He's what? There it is. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be bad up in here. One more time. It sounded good. He was what? That's what he was doing. That's what the Bible says. It said that he was praying. And in a vision. Somebody say a vision. And in a vision, he seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done in your saints in Jerusalem." My goodness. Jesus is trying to teach us something even today. Someone is still trying to harm the saints. Come on. In Oklahoma. And there he, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call, because there's power in that name, all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things..." Oh, that got to be a typo. That can't be right. I mean, he must what? Nobody wants to go to church that talks about suffering. Picking up a cross daily. That don't bring people into the church. Let me tell you what brings people into the church. Bling, bling, baby. Bling, bling. I didn't tell my wife this, but I was looking at a Rolls Royce last week, baby. It was a 1988, though. I don't care. I still drive it. But it's not about the Rolls Royce. Come on. It's not about the bling bling. With this walk with Jesus, nobody tells you this, but sometimes you got to suffer. For his sake. Now, we're not talking about for your mistakes. We're not talking about for your sin. Yes, sin causes suffering. But I want to suffer for his sake. My God. Man, I can't get ahead of myself. Lord, you got to keep coming because we're on a journey. My Lord. Help me, Jesus. He must suffer for who? My name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered his house, and laying his hands on him, he said, look at that, underline that, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. God told him, he gave him an assignment, he laid hands on him. It's like God telling you to go to one of the worst criminals, come on, and telling you to go lay, I can't do that. And some of the things that God is telling you, it's not that outrageous. Come on. He just wants to know, will you obey his voice? It's about obedience. I remember we was at this all-white church somewhere in, might have been Oklahoma. And the Lord said, wasn't this one, there was a whole lot of white folks praying. And there was this white young lady who was, I felt the Holy Spirit say, go pray for that girl. And I said, I can't pray for her. I'm a visitor. I'm black. They got altar workers. See, I'm hearing the Spirit of God, but it doesn't make sense to me. Do you hear me today? And I was fighting God. So I was in the pew and I was just saying, God, you know, I can't go pray with her. Number one, she's a lady. Right? And some of us was taught, don't go up there praying for another person of the opposite sex. Come on. And when I opened up my eyes, my wife was praying for that same lady. I know that wasn't coincidence. It was the Holy Spirit talking to me and going like, all right, knucklehead, you ain't getting it. Let's go to the wife. So, I mean, God is not telling you to do these way out things. He gives you little things. Be faithful over a few things. My God. And he says, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appears to you on the road, the journey of life, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight, there it is, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say immediately. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ. Look at that. Remember the first text I gave you? Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Listen, you don't have to go to Bible college and do all that other stuff. You just tell what you know about your relationship with God. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. I don't know all the answers, but I do know this. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. How many believe that? Raise your hand if you really believe that today. Come on, don't raise because, but really you're raising your hand to God, not to me. But you're saying, God, I really believe he is the Christ, the Son of God. Raise your hand if you really believe it, because God is looking at your hand today. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? He had an encounter with God and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Why do you think he did this CD? I tell you right now, I know Pastor Jack and Jana. It sure is not for the bling bling and the ching ching. Let me tell you why they did it. So that people would know that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That's his whole purpose. That people who are Sauls will be turned into Pauls. Saul changed. When Jesus appeared to him, he had an encounter with God. I'm here to tell you, there are some Sauls in this crowd today. If you'll be honest and transparent, you're a Saul today. You laugh at the church. You laugh at the preachers. You laugh at the Christians. There's some Sauls in here. There's some Sauls that said, only weak men come to church. It's a crutch. You came here just to hear a CD debut. But God says, it's deeper than that. I want to have an encounter with you. My God. There's some souls on the road. There's some souls on the journey of life that need an encounter with God. An encounter with God will give you a new vision, a new outlook on life. An encounter with God will give you a new direction. But an encounter with God will give you a new name. His name was Saul, but we know him as Paul. But our names are Christians, followers of the way. The Bible says, if any man or anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, sometimes all you got to do is just preach the word. All you got to do is open up your mouth and share the scripture. But most of all, be an example. Huh? Live it. Don't be just hearers of the word, but what? People are watching you. Your children watch you. Come on. How you act like a Christian before church. Come on, help me, young folk. How we play the role. Good morning, God bless you. Hallelujah. And just a few minutes, he would hit you in the back of the head. Shut up! Did you bring your Bible? Come on. I thank God for new things. I thank God for a new house. I thank God for a new car. I thank God for new clothes, new toys, new gadgets, new computers. But what I really need is a new me. Are you here today? What I really need is a new me. I went shopping and bought a lot of new stuff, but yet I'm still hurting. What I really need, if you be honest, today, is a new me. Is a new me. I'm killing myself. Come on. I don't need help from the devil. I do a good job all by myself. I beat up myself. Are you here today? I beat myself up. What I really need is a new me. I want to stop now because I want the Spirit of God to guide us. And I believe Pastor Jack said there's some people that have testimonies that had an encounter with God. And so I'm going to turn it back over to those people who's going to give the testimony when we do it like that way. And then what we'll do at closing, I'll pray with anyone who really want an encounter with God. So let me stop right there.